Do I exist? Excellent. Deep philosophical questions from the pastor on a Sunday morning. I know you're all too tired for that. Oh, thank you, Timo. That was amazing. I waited for the Lord on high. He heard my cry. I wanted to start this morning in a weird sort of place, but it's a fun place. There's a legend that goes around in physics communities that one day a young physicist asked Albert Einstein to explain to him the theory of relativity. And so Einstein thought about this for a moment. How do you condense and explain the theory of relativity quickly? I don't know. I barely understand it myself. But he looked up and he said, you know, when you're touching a hot stove, a minute can feel like hours. But he said, but when you're talking to a pretty girl, an hour can feel like minutes. He said, that's relativity. Now, how does that relate to patience, which is what we're talking about this morning, that gift of patience? It comes in the fact that I think we've all been in that place and we all recognize that experience, whether it's from a place of pain and suffering and waiting for something to be done and over. Those of you who've been pregnant know that experience well, of those last months of pregnancy, waiting for the child to be born, expecting it, how uncomfortable it can be. Or whether it's waiting for something new to begin, whether it's waiting for Christmas or the school year to end. Come on. Okay, there's enough students out here. I know you count the days when we get into June. And Kirsty, I know you count them too. I got teacher friends. They're on my Facebook. 19 days. But we're all experienced with waiting, with this sense of just sitting and waiting, and the patience it takes to just wait for what's coming. This morning, I wanted to take us to the book of James to talk about patience, to a period where James decides to meditate on waiting, on patience. Now, a little bit of background to this passage. This is being written to a group that is being pretty heavily oppressed at this point. Rich landowners are taxing them. They're destitute. They're broken. And so they've written to James, the brother of Jesus, for advice. Because who would know better than Jesus' own brother? And so he's written back, and he's written them this letter to encourage them, to remind them of who they are. And he's talked about perseverance, and he's talked about endurance. And in chapter 5, he talks a little about patience. And so we're going to pick up with him in chapter 5, verse 7. Hopefully it'll be on the screen behind me when the time comes. But chapter 5, verse 7 through to 12. Actually, through to 11. We probably won't hit verse 12. But if you have Bibles, flip them open. If not, follow on the screen there. So, James starts with these words. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. As I said, these are a people that are being oppressed. They're in hard times. trouble abounds. And so James, in writing to them, reminds them that what they're waiting on is for the world to change. He reminds them once again of the hope that they have, that the kingdom of God is coming. In fact, has come already, but in its fullness it will come. That Jesus is coming for his people. But he goes, but you have to wait. You have to be patient. Just a little while longer, guys. In that patience, he says to them, you're like every other biblical story. He reminds them of Job. If you can find a more patient man than Job, you're better than I am. He reminds them of the prophets. Read the prophets sometime. Men who spoke God's words and yet ended up chucked down wells for their efforts, cut in half, living in rags, living in the desert eating locusts, spit on by their own people, rejected by their own communities, and yet they were patient because they knew that God was merciful and compassionate, and through them he was working his ends. He reminds them that they need to be patient. He reminds them that in that patience, part of being patient as they wait is being patient with each other. He goes, don't grumble against your brothers. Don't compare who's got it worse. Don't look and go, well, your landowner isn't charging you as much as my landowner. Or you got one less flogging than I did last week. He goes, don't do that. Don't grumble against each other. Don't make it worse. We have a tendency to do that when we're waiting on something, when we're trying to be patient, don't we? Those of you who have siblings probably know this. I remember with my own brothers, you'd be waiting for something, and what would you do? Well, you'd antagonize one of your brothers so that you had something to do, right? You'd antagonize them. You'd get them riled up because then there was something to entertain you for a little while. And he goes, don't do that. Don't grumble against each other. Don't, in the midst of waiting, all of a sudden decide to focus on each other. Because you've got to endure with each other. And to hold on. The day of the Lord is coming. In fact, it already has come. But he says they need to be like farmers, waiting for the crops to grow. Have any of you ever farmed or ever grown produce? Back garden patches, anything? Some of you. My grandfather was a farmer. He was a farm boy from Saskatchewan. And my entire childhood was spent in the back of his garden here in Burnaby. My grandfather had, for Burnaby, what is an unusually large lot. And so in the back of his house, there was this huge garden. I spent my childhood in there with him, and I have to admit, I wasn't very patient as a kid. And so I would go over and I'd be like, Grandpa, what are you doing? He'd go, I'm planting squash. Or I'm prepping the apple tree so that it's ready for summer. Or I'm planting this, tomatoes, blueberries, whatever it was. He grew everything, bok choy even. But he'd go, I'm planting these things. And so the next time I'd be over at his house maybe 2 or 3 weeks later, and I'd be like, oh, is it here yet? And he'd be like, no, we have to wait. And he'd take me out into the garden, and he'd show me how to cultivate the earth, and how to check the fertilizer, and how to help and wait for this to grow, to watch the weather to see when the rains would be coming. I watched his patience as week after week, with no sign that anything was changing, by the way, he would go out and he would tend the ground, would make sure things were looked after, and then slowly, inch by inch, you'd begin to see the change. You'd begin to see stuff growing up. My favorite were always the things that grew under the ground for the most part, things like potatoes or carrots Because all you'd see is this little stalk on top growing a little bit, and then all of a sudden he'd go, they're ready. And he'd reach down and he'd pull them up, and you'd realize that underneath the surface, there'd been growth happening. Things had been changing. James says we need to be ready like the farmer. He goes, tend the earth. Be patient with God, with each other. Like that farmer, go out there and tend the earth, knowing that things are changing even when you don't see them. Knowing that the kingdom is coming. See, what James is telling them is something that I learned in that garden, which is that the things you plant today may not sprout until tomorrow. James is reminding them that the things that they're planting here and now, they won't see the fruits of until eternity. We spread seed now so that we can see its fruit in eternity. That's a hard thought. We don't like waiting. Just like I didn't like waiting as a kid for that garden to grow. I wanted it now. But James reminds them, be patient. Plant the seed. Wait for the rains. And know that the day is coming when the world will change. And then he holds up to them an interesting example. He tells them to be aware that the judge is at the door. That the judge is coming. And he stands at the door. Now, why does he tell them that? Well, I think it goes back to what I said earlier about that grumbling between brothers or sisters. I've known enough sisters in my life to know that they too can grumble at each other. But he goes on and he goes, well, you're being patient. You have to be patient with each other as well as with God. It's not enough just to wait on God and go, oh, I'm being patient with God and being mean to your brothers and sisters. He goes, no, you got to be patient with them as well. You got to bear with them as they too grow and wait for the day. Bear with them as they learn and stretch in Christ. And he reminds them that the judge is at the door, I think, as a reminder that one day they too will stand and judge. One day they too will stand before the judge. And he stood at the door and watched how they've treated people. Did they act with patience? Did they act with love? Did they bear with their brothers? It's reminding them that God is watching. And when the world does change, the judge will come. And they want to be found worthy. Jesus told a story about this once, a similar story, a parable. He said that there was a servant who had this immense debt to a lord. And he went to the Lord and he fell on his knees and said, forgive me this debt. I don't have this money. It's crushing me. Can you just forgive me? And it was lifted from him. And it says that as he was leaving that man's presence, he ran into another man who owed him a few bucks. And he grabbed that guy and shook him and said, hey, where's my money? You need to pay me back now. And when that guy said, I just don't have it. I'm so sorry. Can you just forgive me or wait a little while? That the guy threw him in prison and said, until you pay me back, you're going to be my, you know, in prison. I'm going to put your family in slavery. And it said that the Lord saw this and he immediately turned to that man and said, how wicked can you be? I just forgave you an immense debt. And yet you can't show your brother that same kindness over a few dollars? And it said that the Lord turned on him and threw him into the prison and enslaved his family. And Jesus said, that's the way it is. When we measure and judge people, that's the judgment that will be doled out on us. And here, I think James, the brother of Jesus, is reminding us of that. He's reminding us that we have had our sins forgiven, that the greatest debt we could ever have has been lifted from our shoulders. And that now, then, we too must lift debts from others. We must forgive and bear with our brothers because God forgave and bear with us. He loved us enough that he let his son die for us after all. And so we build patience with each other, with God, as we wait on that day for the world to change. See, we can see, we know what's coming, this change. We've read the stories, and we can see the first fruits of it here in the church. And yet, we have to patiently wait for all that will be. Reminds me of being a child and standing with my parents at Christmas waiting for the Christmas parades to begin. You would stand and you would see hints of what was going to come. Maybe someone would play an instrument for a few seconds. And then you'd see just the top of a float as they moved them into position. You could hear the crowd down the way cheering for what was to come. And then slowly over the horizon, you would begin to see it. This parade moving towards you. And you would begin to join in the festivities as the music played, as the people came. We need to be patient because we see the first little glimmers. Those first strains of the songs, the little tops of the floats, they come over the last hill. And we know that soon and very soon, this world will change. And we will be going to a wedding. Pray with me. Lord, we are not patient people by nature. You know that. You created us. You formed us. You know that we are impetuous. And we want everything now, especially in this day and age of consumerism. Lord, bear with us. Lord, be with your children and teach us to be patient. To stand and to wait, knowing that you are coming. You are returning for us, and when the day comes, this world will be changed. It will be restored. And we will see with our eyes what our faith has always told us was a reality. Lord, we await that day, and we wait it in your strong name. Amen.